Case number 237336, Morgan v. Hartman. Good morning. Let's just wait for everybody to move out of the room and get settled. Okay. Mr. Morgan.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Michael Morgan, appearing pro se in this matter. I'm going to try to list my misery within the last 9 years in less than 5 minutes, but I'll do my best. This case centers on the many fraudulent actions and pattern around the sale and operation of my former company, St. Mark's World, which I had built over the years when I first came to the United States with $100 in my shoe from Africa. I came to see and witness the American dream, and I think I did, until I met the appellees. The company had provided and created jobs to hundreds of Americans and was worth several millions of dollars when I agreed to sell it to the appellees. Now, jumping to the main issue, the central legal question in this case is whether the claims presented to the district court were barred because of they were or could have been raised in litigation in prior state court litigation. The answer to that question is that the majority of the claims could not and were not litigated in the state court proceeding. In addition, the district court compounded its incorrect reading and finding of the prior proceedings by not permitting me to amend the complaint. I would like to summarize my argument in three parts. The first part is the state litigation was limited in scope and did not encompass the claims raised in this action. In 2018, there were several issues raised regarding the sale of my business, but the only issues resolved in the litigation were those subject to binding arbitration that was predetermined and predecided in December 31st, 2000.
Did you settle the lawsuits and then resolve any outstanding issues through binding arbitration?
No, we did not. Well, we settled the lawsuit by voluntarily dismissing the claims. And I was hoping, I was giving the appealers another chance to try to comply with the stock purchase agreement that they violated right and left, and the shareholder agreement that they violated right and left.
So you agreed to the voluntary dismissal of the lawsuit, and then the idea was any outstanding issues would be resolved in the arbitration.
No, that's how the appealers presented it to the court.
So you're saying you couldn't have identified additional issues to be decided in the arbitration?
Correct. And I'll tell you why. Because, one, I was blocked discovery. And the part of the discovery that was needed to raise these issues was actually part of the issues in the arbitration to be arbitrated. For instance, whether Dr. Morgan should have access to the payroll records, whether Dr. Morgan should have access to the UCC lien filings and loan documents of tens of millions of dollars that he took against the company without my consent, in violation of the shareholder agreement, without my even knowledge, to even tell me that they were going behind my back, where it states clearly in the shareholder agreement that they could not make any decision of more than $5,000 without my written consent. So I could not have raised these issues in the arbitration because this binding arbitration was already part of the stipulation of settlement, and the judge, the arbitrator himself stated in page 18 of the arbitration award that he could not act on the valuation of the company because It's specifically stated in the stipulation of settlement that this issue was to be determined by an independent auditor, a CPA firm that knows how to do an audit. And then if we have disputes, then it would go to the arbitrator to look
over.
Okay,
but that was a way of resolving what you were owed under the purchase agreement, right?
Yes.
So does that mean that the earlier litigation resolved that issue?
It did not, because they did not comply with it. They breached the stipulation right and left. They're still not in compliance.
I mean, you just said that if there's a problem with the independent auditor figure, then that could, that the dispute then could be resolved by the arbitrator.
But they refrained from engaging in the audit. It took them 5 months to engage in the first audit. They held that engagement in hostage to me signing fraudulent tax returns, which I didn't do and I would never do. And then when I pressed them to engage, they engaged, but they never cooperated. They ignored all the communication between the independent.
Okay, so now the way you're describing it is you're saying you had a stipulation of settlement and then further issues to be resolved in an arbitration. And you're saying they didn't comply with the stipulation of settlement.
They didn't comply with the stipulation.
So have you tried to bring that issue either to the court that entered the stipulation of settlement?
I tried, but unfortunately, I want to say it the best polite way, they misrepresent the facts to the courts. They lie to the courts. And because I'm a pro se, I guess, the courts give, extend them more courtesy, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to judge, but that's the situation I'm in now. On the second part is the fraud claims, which the magistrate judge, James Cott, completely ignored. The district court complaint is consisting of two main parts. The breach of contracts, which I still think it's not a res judicata issue. It cannot be precluded by res judicata. But even if that's the case, if the appellate court finds that an issue to be precluded, the fraud claims were never adjudicated. They were never heard on the merits. There was no decision on those fraud claims.
But they were part of the litigation that was subject to the stipulation of dismissal.
No, there's new claims that I have found out after 2019 and 20 and 21. For instance, the SBA fraud didn't happen until COVID hit New York City in 2020. The criminal conviction of Scott Hartman and Vincent Puma was actually concealed from me at the time of the purchase, where it states specifically in the stock purchase agreement that they had to disclose it. And they didn't. So there are so many things that I found out. In 2020 and 2021 and 2022, I found out that they created a shadow payroll that I had no idea about. And they blocked me from accessing that in paychecks. And they were paying employees that are not part of the company. And it turned out those employees are almost 90% of those employees are with the last name Monello, which is the family of Mario Minella, one of the owners. It's just crazy. It's outrageous. And to date, they're blocking me from all financial records, even though in the preliminary injunction in 2018, the court ordered that they had to disclose all the financial information.
But the audit that resulted in a number for the how much you're owed under the purchase agreement. With the audit that resulted in a number for how much you're owed under the purchase agreement.
Well, the audit was never done. They don't engage.
So have you not yet received the award, like the payment under the purchase
agreement? No, not even the number. Go ahead, Vera.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Morgan. You have time for rebuttal, so we'll hear from you again. But let's turn to the appellee. Mr. Tiglio. Sorry, I apologize.
Thank you, Your Honor. You did an excellent job, actually, Anthony D'Artiglio.
Okay,
May it please the Court on behalf of the appellees. This is nothing more than a challenge to that 2018 action and the arbitration award now filed in district court, and a challenge to the decisions that have been made by other judges in state court or Judge Pittman in the arbitration. And it is entirely improper for that action to continue here in the
Let me ask you a question. I'm looking at the second amended complaint. Mm-hmm. This is a diversity case.
Correct.
And it alleges that the plaintiff is a citizen of the state of New York. And it also alleges that NPM management is incorporated under the laws of the state of New York. Is that wrong?
Correct.
I mean, if that's correct, there isn't complete diversity.
Correct, Your Honor. Diversity was raised below. We had filed for dismissal based on the lack of diversity. The district court denied that portion of our motion and instead found that res judicata permitted dismissal. We chose not to challenge
that. It can't be waived. Is NPM, it's an LLC, is it considered a citizen of New York or that's not? Correct.
Our understanding is
the plaintiff alleges it. That's
yeah, it was formed under the laws of the state of New York in the interest of full candor to the tribunal, Your Honors. There's, I believe, allegations that some of the principals are venued somewhere else other than New York, which is how they were getting
I know,
to.
But it has the citizenship of all of its members. Are there, I gather, there's only one member and that member resides in New Jersey? I just want to make sure there's jurisdiction.
I believe that is the case, Your Honor, and that okay. Whether they're... To be frank, I hadn't prepped that particular issue for this argument, Your Honor.
Well, because, I just noticed it now,
yeah.
But I'm looking at the complaint. If you just look at the face of the complaint, it does not allege complete diversity.
Correct, Your Honor. That is true.
Right.
And that was a portion of our
argument.
Then
you maintain that there isn't diversity. Like, that's what you raised that to the district court, and you're saying the district court overlooked that to decide on res judicata grounds.
The district court found that there was complete diversity, Your Honors.
That
there was complete diversity because of the principles of these various LLCs, and based on their residence, they found that that was sufficient for diversity. And again, that's not part of the appeal here because we believe res judicata is clear, and obviously the court had dismissed all
those
grounds.
Yeah, but of course, res judicata is a merits ruling, so
correct.
If there is a lack of jurisdiction, that has to be resolved first.
Correct, Your Honor, and that is why the district court and the magistrate judge undertook that analysis first. Yes. So, again, we understand why they reached that decision.
Does NPM, it's an LLC, does it have any members other than Mr. Puma? If you know.
I believe it is 100% owned by Mr. Puma, who resides in New Jersey.
All right,
Your Honor.
I think we're okay.
There we go. Thank you. Your Honor, what we heard during this argument, Your Honors, what we heard during this argument is frankly that there's a dispute as to what happened in the arbitration. I wasn't allowed the evidence by Judge Pittman in 2018, right? I lost these motions because the appellees committed fraud to the court, right? This is not an opportunity for the federal courts to sit as a super, appellate division over the state court and arbitrators' decisions. And that's essentially what's being asked here, Your Honor. To answer a question you asked, Dr. Morgan, he did raise the fact that he, quote, hadn't been paid or that he's not, that we didn't cooperate with the auditor. He raised that in a contempt motion in the 2018 action where the arbitration was confirmed. The court denied that contempt motion, Your Honors, and actually cautioned Dr. Morgan against frivolous conduct moving forward. That's on appeal in the New York State Court Appellate Division. That's where this belongs. This is the fourth action.
So the contempt motion is still on appeal?
That motion is still on appeal, Your Honors. That's where all of this belongs.
Is it right that the audit hasn't been completed?
Correct, Your Honor. So an auditor was engaged, a gentleman by the name of Seth Marin at Markham, who's now called something else. He could not complete the audit because Dr. Morgan's records were commingled with his personal records, and he did not find there was sufficient cooperation and information for him to properly complete the audit. And he resigned as the auditor.
The case is still pending? How many cases are still pending in the state court?
The 2018 case is on appeal, Your Honor. The 2020 and 21 cases are both still pending in the state court.
All these issues could be raised in those cases?
Absolutely, Your Honor. It's not just they could, they are. And worse still, there is a dispute pending set for trial, I believe sometime this year, where the broker for the sale of this business is suing.
Do you have a trial schedule? This
is a different case, Your Honor. Inbar versus Dr. Morgan, where there is a trial scheduled from the broker who claims Dr. Morgan didn't pay him the fees that he was owed for the brokering the sale of this business. Your Honor, he's trying to bring a cross-claim in that case to relitigate everything in the Second Amendment and in those other three cases in that case as well.
If everything is still ongoing, is it really res judicata or is it something like abstention because we have ongoing proceedings in the state court?
Abstention would work as well, Your Honors, but because we have a final arbitration award that was subject to an appeal, appeal was denied.
I think it's covered by the arbitration award.
That is final.
That is a final judgment.
That is a final judgment. It was approved.
And is your argument that all of these issues could have been raised in the arbitration or...
Correct, Your Honor.
Because of the stipulation of settlement, that's, you know, a final resolution of litigation and it could have been raised in the litigation?
Both, Your Honor. So first, that stipulation of settlement dismissed that fraud claim. So when we hear that the breach of contract may be covered by res judicata, but fraud isn't, first of all, it's the same transactional facts. And that's the test under New York law. But to that point, the fraud claims were dismissed in that stipulation of settlement. And the parties had the opportunity to designate what issues they wanted litigated in the arbitration. Fraud could have been. It was already part of the litigation before the arbitration. For whatever tactical reasons.
Wait, doesn't the stipulation of settlement identify the issues that are going to be arbitrated?
And also afforded the parties the opportunity to identify additional issues, and multiple additional issues were identified for that arbitrator. And what we heard, Your Honor, is I discovered in 2019 these issues. Arbitration occurred in 2022. There were plenty of opportunities to address these issues in that arbitration, in the 2018 action, in the 2020 action, in the 2021 action, Your Honor. They don't belong here. And that's what the district court found after, you know, looking through the record. Both the magistrate judge and the district court judge were very clear that the same transactional facts apply here. This is a dispute over the sale of a business and the post-operation of that business after that sale. And nothing, no matter how you dress it up, whatever cause of action you put on it, whatever new facts you want to allege in a complaint, it still goes back to the same issue. He has a problem with the representations that were made as part of that sale and the way that business was conducted after the sale. And that was the exact
issue. What about the argument he just made that he tried to raise some things to the arbitrator who wouldn't consider them? Would that change the analysis as to what could have been raised in the arbitration?
No, Your Honor. That's a challenge that needs to be taken on in the 2018 action that confirmed the arbitration award. It's, again, not the providence of the district court to sit as an appellate judge over what the arbitrator decided. If he tried to raise them, and if he tried to raise them and the arbitrator rejected them because they lacked merit or they were if he's trying to say they were untimely, that would have needed to be presented to this court, an argument as to the judge saying we're too far along in the process, go raise that in a separate action, right? That's not what's being alleged here. He doesn't allege anything to show that there was a finding of untimeliness. Instead, all these issues were potentially before the arbitrator, and for whatever reason, they either weren't raised or they were filed in two new action.
The SBA and the PPP fraud, is that something that came about after the claims here?
No, Your Honor, because the PPP occurred in 2020 and the arbitration occurred in 2022. That's just simply a complete red herring that has nothing to do with the allegations in the Second Amendment complaint. It has nothing. It could have been addressed in the arbitration, and frankly, to your point about extension, it is a subject of one of the still unfortunately pending actions in the New York State Court. I can't recall if it's the 2020 or 2021. There are many. So to the extent that issue is somehow something that needs to be resolved, notwithstanding the arbitration, the 2018 action, this court could readily abstain from addressing that issue because it's already filed somewhere else. Unless there's any other questions, Your Honor, I think I've addressed everything.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will turn back to Mr. Morgan on rebuttal.
So, Your Honors, first of all, arbitration didn't happen in 2022. The reward happened in 2022. Arbitration happened in 2020. At the time...
Opened in
2020. And at the time, I requested the backup documents for the SBA loans, which they have provided me with fake application, stated that the application was sent on to the SBA on 4/16/2020. Matter of fact, on the Wall Street Journal, the loan was funded and approved and funded in April 8th. With an application was submitted that I found out later by subpoena the bank on April 3rd. So I didn't have the proper document to raise these claims for the SBA. But the rest, it's a pattern, Your Honor, from day one. You can ask him today, did I get paid? No. Are you good? What are you doing in the other state courts? I'm dismissing all the cases. They move to dismiss everything. Regarding the diversity.
Just heard that you're raising a lot of these objections about access to evidence and seeking to hold them in contempt and so on for not cooperating in the state courts. Is that right?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
We just heard that you're raising some of these issues and seeking to hold them in contempt for noncompliance and noncooperation.
I filed a motion of contempt to reserve my right for that decision. This is the only problem is after the state, the district court ruling, I had to take preventative measures or careful measures to try to save my claims. But I don't intend to go in the state court and the district court at the same time. If I get a ruling that this case should move forward, go back to district court, this is what I'm focused on. This is what I'm going to litigate my fraud. And the reason why it's completely different case, Your Honor, because in the state court I was asking for 80% of the business, 80% of the stock that they bought from the business. Today I'm left with nothing. I'm left with debts. They added me to a company with 20% ownership where the company is in debt to Mario Minello for 1.75. So,
but those are two different issues, right? It's what you're owed under the purchase agreement and then claims for damages based on subsequent mismanagement of the company, right?
Correct.
But and that was raised in the state court litigation.
And that's not in the state court litigation. That's
not. The mismanagement is not?
Yes, it's not. The fraud, the deceit, the fraud and the deceit and the multiple omissions that they made in whether loan documents to date they presented to the arbitrator that there's an email from the bank with highly redacted, no names, no officers, stating that a loan for $10 million did not have an application. Am I expected to believe this? When I apply for a credit card for $500, I have to fill out an application. A loan of $10 million doesn't have an application? How is that even possible? That's one of the main things. And the other parts regarding Your Honor Chin, Judge Chin,
I'm satisfied as to...
Okay.
I'm satisfied.
All right. And regarding the Enbar litigation that he's talking about, the broker was working in deceit to lower my purchase price. And the reason why I came with the cross counterclaims, because they cross-claimed for legal fees. So I had to cross counterclaim. I did not initiate this. And obviously they're trying to dismiss that. But my question in the district court is completely different. It's mainly based on the fraudulent pattern and the hostile takeover of the company. Today, the company is not, they've bankrupted the company. There's no employees, there's nothing. And they're not even sharing the financial documents. And it's a completely different from the state court. And as I said, I'm not willing to entertain the two cases. If I get a judgment to go back to district court, this is where I'm focusing my attention.
Well, don't dismiss anything yet, but thank you for your argument.
Thank you.
Mr. Morgan, the case is submitted.